You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. So probably as recently as last year, if you ask people what the biggest threat to the world was, they might not respond collapsing global capitalism. They might be more likely to give you an answer like global warming or climate change or environmental population issues as one of the leading threats to the world. But now the question is, if the economic downturn is going to take center stage as Barack Obama takes office, how is that going to affect the urgency with which scientists and policymakers are approaching global warming, which is certainly still with us? And joining us to talk about this as we look forward to 2009 is David Green, who's a senior researcher at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Knoxville, Tennessee. David, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And I understand that you're back from the climate change conference that took place in Poland just recently. But I'm just wondering generally, before we talk about the conference, do you think this economic downturn is going to slow down or speed up global urgency and policy devoted to climate change and the environment?
I think that's an interesting question. It remains to be seen. I mean, on the one hand, there's less money for the government to spend. On the other hand, it's urgent that the government spend money to stimulate the economy, and this is certainly something that really they need to do.
Now, in Poland, were people taking a look at what Barack Obama is talking about as far as stimulating the economy by stimulating green infrastructure, green development programs, the production of solar panels, that sort of thing, as a viable option going forward?
Yes, I think so. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of excitement at the COP meeting in Poznan about Obama and the direction he's going to take. And Al Gore spoke to the conference on the last day about that, and it was like a rock star was there. And it was just tremendous enthusiasm about, you know, the U.S. is going to now take a position of leadership in the world on climate change, and I think a tremendous upbeat ending to the conference.
So, David, is the economic crisis then being seen as a potential opportunity?
It could be. I think I think we have to see how that works out. I mean, in the past, there's been a lot of talk about what could be done in energy, hydrogen vehicles, oil independence, energy independence, that kind of thing, and not really a serious policy effort put together, except after the first oil crisis in the mid-70s.
Well, certainly the storerooms in Washington and all around the United States and the world really are filled with prototypes of things that would be great ideas if they were done on a mass scale. As a scientist, what makes more sense to scale up as a big program to have an impact on the environment? The high-tech kinds of programs, such as hydrogen, which you're talking about there, or low-tech programs like passive solar and other ideas that maybe don't involve a lot of whiz-bang technology, but if applied on a grand scale, could have a massive impact?
I think what you're talking about is low-tech needs to come first. In other words, we need to massively improve energy efficiency. That would be the first thing. We need to actually produce more energy, because we need to solve both this oil dependence problem and the climate change problem at the same time. So we really have to produce more oil, but we need to massively improve the energy efficiency first. Things like plug-in hybrid vehicles may come next, and then after that, perhaps fuel cells or battery electric vehicles. But I really think that's two decades, perhaps, from now.
So is that an argument for nuclear?
Yeah, I think nuclear certainly has a place in a low-carbon world. If we're going to dramatically reduce our carbon emissions, we will want to use nuclear power.
As a scientist, when you evaluate Barack Obama's statement that we should put people to work making solar panels, and these wouldn't be passive solar panels, but photovoltaic solar panels, does that make sense scientifically? Because there are some studies that suggest that the production of solar panels on a mass scale would actually use more energy than would be conserved by applying them to residential and other consumer uses.
Well, I think for some things like solar panels, batteries, these are energy intensive to build, but once you get them in place, you get back the energy savings rather quickly. So I don't think that should stop us from going ahead with that kind of program.
And as you look towards the end of 2009, what do you think, looking back, would be the biggest headline on climate change and the environment? What would, first of all, be a headline you'd love to see, and what do you think you're going to see?
Well, I think what I want to see is the United States take a firm stand and implement a policy that calls for, in the long run, deep reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. So we're talking about looking forward all the way to 2050 and saying we're going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions anywhere from 50 to 80%. That's what the climate scientists think is the range of what we need to do. I think we can make that commitment in 2009 by implementing something like a carbon cap and trade system or a tax on carbon, but to set those targets and say, look, that's where we're going.
And you believe that's scientifically feasible. What about a headline you're likely to see?
Well, I think that's likely, number one. I think we will make that kind of a commitment. I'm a little worried that we will lose sight of our oil dependence problem because the price of oil, of course, has dropped back down to low levels. And we seem to be very short-sighted about that problem. I mean, in the past, we got very excited and very interested when prices were high in the 70s and early 80s. And when prices collapsed in 1986, we just lost interest in the problem.
Well, it's
stopped working on it.
It's a frightening double whammy: declining fossil fuel prices and also a declining amount of money for investment on some of these other technologies. But we'll have to see how that turns out. David Green, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, you're welcome.
David Green is a senior researcher at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and he joined us from Knoxville, Tennessee.